Good morning, everyone. It's 9:30 a.m. here at Centennial College Radio News. I'm Katie Goujon, and here's a look at today's sports. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays gave a disappointing show at the Rogers Centre last night in their second game at home against the Kansas City Royals. Jays pitcher Josh Towers gave up 6 runs in less than 6 innings, and there was no help from the defense, who made 3 out of 4 of the errors last night. Kansas City won 6-3, and the two teams finish off the 3-game series tonight. The Jays are now 4-3 and are tied for first place in the American League East. And the Canadian women's hockey team has something to celebrate. Last night in Winnipeg, the girls defeated the U.S. 5-1 in the Women's World Hockey Championship. After an uneventful first period, the Canadians came out running after 20 minutes scoring 4 unanswered goals. Team goaltender Sarah Valancourt stopped 20 of 21 shots fired off by the Americans. The St. Mike's Majors of the OHL slipped back to 1 game above .500 this season as they hosted and lost to the Windsor Spitfires. The Spitfires' goaltending was in tip-top shape while the Majors' leading scorer set out with an undisclosed injury. Matt Smith has this report.
In OHL action yesterday, goalie Anthony Guadagnolo made 28 saves and centerman Brett Liscombe scored the game-winning goal as the Windsor Spitfires beat the St. Mike's Majors 3-2. Guadagnolo, who was recently acquired from the Ottawa 67s, put on quite a spectacle in yesterday's game. Majors coach Bud Stefanski was quite impressed with Guadagnolo's performance.
Their goaltender played well. I mean, there's no question. He came in here on the road and, you know, he shut the door on us.
Majors forward Tyler Donati, who added a goal and an assist for his team, also commented on the Spitfires' goaltender.
I think their goalie did play well tonight. We still need to capitalize. You know, we're going to come up against hot goaltenders every so often, and I think that we need to be able to bury our chances.
The Majors' leading scorer, Justin Donati, was missing in action and was likely the reason why the Majors came out short in the end. Coach Stefanski comments.
You take, your leading scorer out of any game, it's going to hurt a team. So, it's going to take its toll, and we just have to weather the storm, and Justin Donati will be back in 10 days. We have to get through next weekend on the road and then go from there.
The Toronto Raptors are taking a bit of their break from their hectic NBA schedule. Their next game isn't until Friday night at the ACC when the Detroit Pistons roll into town. Sitting 12 games above .500, the Raps have clinched their first place in the Atlantic Division, giving them home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. The Stanley Cup playoffs kick off this evening, even without our heroes in blue and white, and as they say, the show must go on. A few Canadian teams left to root for, though, including the Ottawa Senators, who host the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first game of their first round series. The puck drops at the Scotiabank Place at 7 p.m. Eastern. Other games tonight include the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Dallas Stars. Game 1 of that series gets underway at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Thursday, the Calgary Flames go head-to-head with the Detroit Red Wings, who are sitting pretty as the Western Conference champs. And that's all from the world of sports. Stay with us because after the break, Brandi Stiles got the scoop on today's entertainment news.
Okay, first, pucker up.
I thought you were going to teach me about hockey.
I am. I'm demonstrating a face-off.
Face off? I think you're offsides.
Looks like I'm starting off in the penalty box.
So, been a Ranger fan long?
Since the Ice Age.
So why aren't we at the Garden?
I always listen to the game on the radio so I can sit back, relax, and enjoy my cigar. You don't mind, do you?
No, not at all.
Could you hand me my Rangers jersey, please?
Cold?
Nah, it's just a ritual.
Ritual?
Yeah, every time the Rangers play, I wear my lucky jersey and light up a Burling.
I understand the jersey, but why the Behring cigar?
Nowadays, I can't find the time or place to smoke as often as I like. So when I can do it, I do it right, with Behring.
You look pretty good in that jersey.
Ha, oh yeah. Well, how about a body check, eh?
How about a slap shot?
Behring Long Filler Cigars, made from 100% imported tobacco with natural leaf binder and wrapper. When you can do it right.
Welcome back and good morning, everyone. In hockey news, Leafs captain Matt Sundin says he isn't going anywhere. After the Leafs missed out on a chance to enter the playoffs last weekend, rumors began swirling about Sundin's future in Toronto. But he says he isn't thinking about abandoning the Leafs, but the captain may be looking for a better deal. Word in the league is GM John Ferguson wants to sign Sundin to a new contract that is more cap-friendly. Some big names in sports are interested in using U of T's newly built sports dome. Renting it out for professional sports events and practices could mean added revenue for the university. However, the students would be unable to use their own facility at all. Jason Hahela has this report.
U of T students have been in an uproar after learning that they can't use their own sports dome. On March 2nd, a university council voted against raising student fees by $10. Normally, students hate paying more money, but this fee would have gone into operating their newly built dome. Because of the no vote on raising fees, students will get pushed aside in favor of everyone else when it comes to the dome's usage, says Masha Sidorova, co-chair of the university's Council of Athletics and Recreation.
It's a hot facility. Everybody wants a piece of it. It was built for the students. Unfortunately, we might have to give it away, and we really, really don't want to.
Because students won't be paying for the dome, where will the money come from needed to run it? Well, it's going to come from those who are willing to pay for the space. Adam Pomper, also a co-chair of the Athletics Council, is fully aware of how the university will benefit from giving space to other athletics organizations.
People knocking on the door, you know, they want to give millions of dollars to rent our facility. CFL, you know, we can rent it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year if we wanted to. And the faculty can make millions of dollars, but that's not what we want to do.
But even though a $10 increase might seem like a little bit to get a big arena, there are some students who oppose the way it's being handled by the university. Waleed Kogali of UTM.
And it's unfortunate that a minority doesn't like what's happening, what's going on. And you know what? The student experience sucks at U of T just because the university is not willing to put more funding.
The no vote decision has until May 1st to be revised. If the university agrees to go ahead with raising fees, students will be able to butt heads with each other over a game of lacrosse. If not, they'll be butting heads with the administrators to get back what was theirs to begin with. This is Jason Hahalia, Centennial College Radio News.
In the wonderful world of baseball, the Jays beat Kansas City Royals 9-1. Jays pitcher A.J. Burnett had the bases loaded against him, but the Royals barely managed to use it to their advantage. Burnett pitched three walks and hit two batsmen, but he continued to maintain quality pitches to avoid further damage. In the second inning, Lau Overbay had a three-run double for a 4-0 lead. Overbay's grounder down the right field line caused an argument between Royals manager Buddy Bell and umpire Jerry Davis. As a result, Bell was ejected from the game. In basketball, the Raptors beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 111-100 last night. It was the Raptors' fifth game in 7 nights. Their fatigue was obvious in the first 3 quarters. They were down by 6 when they entered the fourth, where they got a burst of energy. Toronto went on a 14-2 run, taking control of the game, but it was Jose Calderon who had the most effect during the fourth quarter, scoring 8 points in the period. Calderon's three-pointer saved the game for the Raptors with 57.3 seconds left on the clock. The Raptors play the Detroit Pistons tomorrow night. World curling champion Glenn Howard is celebrating today. Yesterday, Howard is making news for leading Team Canada in one of the most outstanding performances the tournament has ever seen, winning the World Curling Championship title for the third time. And that's all from the world of sports. Stay with us after the break when Brandy has all the buzz from Tinseltown.
It was definitely a rocking night at Cannon Theatre. Last night, We Will Rock You, a musical from the legendary rock band Queen, had the audience dancing in their seats. The opening night production brought celebrities out to welcome the show to Toronto. Former Queen members Brian May and Roger Taylor were in attendance. Colin McRae, Deanie Becker, Kevin Frankish, and Gord Martineau also came to show their support. The show will run until May 27th. Are you afraid of Virginia Woolf? Local theater group Eastside Players certainly isn't. The real challenge for everyone involved in the latest production of the 1962 play is to convince the audience that, as usual, the book is much better than the movie. Katie Grosjean has the story.
Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf, Virginia Woolf. Who's afraid of Virginia?
The days of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton are long gone. Toronto Community Theatre Group Eastside Players' latest production hopes to breathe new life into an old classic, Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? Those working on the project are looking to move away from the darkness of the 1966 film interpretation. Cast members Robert Ouellette and Kelly Morrison explain.
Mike Nichols, who directed the film, did not think that the humor of the play would come across on film, so he didn't really concentrate too much on the humor.
Yeah.
So consequently, you have a very humorless
and very dark.
And very dark.
Filmed in black and white.
Filmed in black and white.
I remember the music was very somber.
Director Julian Mulock feels that creating a live production of the play makes all the difference in bringing out the comedy.
So there's a sense of comic timing in this play. Okay. And when Mike Nichols made the movie, he said that the way to manipulate an audience is through their emotions. So he made it very dark and very highly emotional. Whereas Albee felt that the way to deal with an audience was through comedy. But that's the difference between live theater and movies.
Come and see the lighter side of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf at the Paper Mill Theater on Pottery Road. Katie Goujon, Centennial College Radio News, Toronto.
Al Gore a rock star? Well, not exactly. The former vice president turned environmentalist demigod will be front and center for Live Earth on July 7th. The global concert will take place on 7 different stages from New Jersey to Johannesburg. It was announced yesterday by Gore and event organizers. Madonna, the Black Eyed Peas, Kanye West, and Kelly Clarkson are just some of the acts that will headline the musical extravaganza. Live Earth is the music industry's call to the world to act now against global warming. It looks like emotions are taking over Barry Gibb this morning. The former Bee Gees singer lost a house he had purchased in Tennessee to a fire. Though fire crews worked frantically to save the house, it was completely destroyed. The house in Hendersonville, Tennessee, was the home of late country legends Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. Here we grow again. It looks like Justin Trudeau and his wife Sophie Gregoire Trudeau will be doing their part to increase Canada's population. The couple is expecting their first child. Trudeau is the son of the late Prime Minister Pierre Elliott Trudeau. His wife is a regular correspondent on eTalk Daily with Ben Mulrooney. And that's it for Celeb News. Now back to Katie for the wrap.
That's all for us here at Centennial College Radio News. Have a good day.